Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Back in hour number two of the program here on Friday morning. You heard Phil mention there the Moby Dick Marathon is this weekend, and it will be kicked off by Karen Parsons, the actress best known as Hilary Banks on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but also an author in her own right, too. She's written a number of children's books, and she, I guess we shouldn't really give out all the information, but she has a home locally, so she's quite familiar with the area and the South Coast and what the Whaling Museum means to New Bedford and what Moby Dick means to New Bedford. So it'll be a real treat to have her be part of it. Glad nobody asked me to read this year because my voice would not make it. I'm going to be lucky if I can make it to the next 2 hours of this show. And then hopefully it'll rest up over the weekend and I can be ready to go on Monday. But it was my turn to get the cold that Chris had and Barry had, and now it's my turn, and I'm sure Brian and Paul will end up with it. I mean, we Lysol everything in here, the microphone, the countertop. The cleaning people will come in tonight and give it a deep cleaning. So if anybody gets sick after this, it's totally not my fault. So we were talking in the first hour. I did mention that Counselor at large, Shane Burgo reached out to me yesterday and asked to come on the program Tuesday morning, this coming Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour, which will be the morning after the city council elects its president for the 2025 year. And win or lose, he'll be joining us to talk about it. And then he'll be here for the hour, I believe so, because he asked about the hour. So I believe he'll stay for the whole time. I know that he does have to get to work, but he'll take your calls too. So any of these concerns that you have, you can feel free to call in, and of course I'll ask him these questions as well. But we'll get him on the record with these things. And as I mentioned, he's in the New Bedford Light article quoted as saying, "I've never at any point publicly or privately advocated for defunding the police." And that's a pretty unequivocal statement right there. But we can get more into that, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
How are you?
Sorry to hear that you have a cold going on.
Yeah, it's been worse. I'm glad that it feels like it's on the tail end of it now.
Well, there was a lot of worse things going around.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I saw your video about the old country buffet. That was funny.
Yeah, that was 2016, I think it was, when they closed. You know, Gazelle called me and he said, "Hey, man, Old Country Buffet is closed. Can you come by?" And I was at work at my day job then as a cook. And I said, "I think I've got a shirt in the back I can throw on. Sure, I'll be there in 20 minutes. And we made up that whole thing on the spot.
And that was really funny, especially near the end when you really took that big fit. You know, that place had its day. I remember taking my grandkids there a lot. That's back in the day when I was eating whatever the hell I wanted, didn't know about nothing, and it was set. You know, a woman was killed in a bathroom over there.
Yeah, one of the managers, yeah.
And I never really got into the whole story, like, why was it, was Like, was it somebody she knew?
One of the dishwashers attacked one of the managers, and I believe he stabbed her to death with a steak knife.
Yeah. Oh, it was a horrible thing. I never went after that, but I mean, right out of the blue, he didn't know it. Just felt like he was going to do that.
No, they worked together, but something set him off.
Oh, okay. I don't understand the whole story about this jail. Let me get it right. They want to take some or all the prisoners and put them into a home, and then what are they going to do with the? I mean, that building has seen its better day. Maybe it's time to just knock it down and build something else.
So,
but how do you take prisoners and put them into a home? They're prisoners. They're supposed to be in jail.
It's people. So the plan is, from what Sheriff Aro is telling Chris, and again, this isn't even a plan. It's just a conversation that they've had so far. But the Ash Street Jail facility, the sheriff plans on shutting that down and ceasing all operations there so that the county can then decide what to do with that building. So the county owns it. So the county would probably, you know, sell it to the city of New Bedford for $1 kind of thing, and then New Bedford could sell it to a developer and whatever they would do with it from there. But the sheriff's home, which is basically just some administrative offices now, but back in the old days, that's where the sheriff would live with his family, next to the jail. And so that has become administrative offices over the years, and parts of it I don't think are even used anymore. And so they would take that facility and turn that into a reentry center where they would have, you know, computers for prisoners to use to try to find a job and things like that. But it's people who have already been released. So it's people who have now served their time and are reentering back into society. And this is going to be the idea of almost like a halfway house, but not really a place for them to live. He had only mentioned that they would have 10 or 15 beds on the second floor for them to stay if they had nowhere else to go, just so that they didn't have to be out on the street.
I see. And that house is somewhere near that jail?
I believe it's geographically speaking, I think it's across the street. I might be wrong.
And so it's been a while since I've been there. The neighbors in that area, the neighbors don't want that there. They don't want the prisoners there. Well, they're released already, you said.
Right. So that's why I was saying, like, this. There's similar setups all over the place of halfway homes for people that don't have anywhere to go, that, you know, you probably have prisoners that are living in anyway. So it's no different than anything else.
Okay, so what are they going to do with the ones that are not released, the ones that are still in jail? If they're going to shut that building down, where are they going to go?
Sheriff Harrow believes that they can clean up enough of the Dartmouth campus to be able to have everybody housed on the Dartmouth campus.
I don't know what that is. Where's the Dartmouth campus?
The Dartmouth House of Correction on Fonts Corner Road.
Oh, that, okay, where Hero is.
Yes.
So they're going to put them up there into the big house. We'll call it the big house.
Yeah, he feels that that's enough of a facility for what they need. Well, although he was talking about utilizing some of the ICE detention center for that. Now they've used some of that as training space. So I didn't hear all of his talk with Chris, so I don't know if they addressed that question, if they still have enough space to house all the people. But basically his plan is, because they have to spend what would essentially be, right off the top, I believe it's $300,000 immediate repairs that Ash Street needs. But it's in the millions of what it would really need to get up to date. And he says it's just not worth and not necessary to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, no, it's not. That place has seen better days. I mean, okay, so now that I know the story, so the neighbors there don't want people who had been in jail, if they served their time, they're not murderers? Are we talking about murderers? Because you're not going to kill them.
Well, so again, the sheriff only said this is just kind of the germ of an idea that's been discussed, so they didn't get into any specifics, but I would assume that they would have some qualifications as to, you know, what level of crime they could be before they would be allowed to use
that. They're going to do that, too, and the people in that area don't want it. I mean, there's nothing against the idea of doing all that, but why can't they just do it somewhere else if the people in that area don't feel comfortable with that? I don't have anything against it myself. I wouldn't want it across the street from me, though. I mean, it isn't an area that, I mean, why does it have to be in that area?
Because that's a facility that they already own.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be a building that they already own. Can't they do it? If they really want this plan and it sounds good enough, can't they just find another place?
I think it sounds more to me, and again, I don't mean to speak for Sheriff Harrow on this, but it sounds more to me like it's less of a, we have this idea and this is the place we want to do it, and more like, we have this place, what can we do with it?
Well, I do agree that building ought to come down because it's been there so long. I've heard horror stories about the cockroaches and everything. I mean, really, just looking at it, I mean, there's no way to rebuild that. if they just knocked that all down, they could build something nice there. I mean, maybe we could always use, I know some people don't like it, but more apartment buildings. But not all the people that are on the street want an apartment. Look what happened with Clyde. They gave him a nice place, blankets, pots and pans and all, and he went right back to the street.
Yeah, that's just so how some people you know, want to live, yeah.
I know. Well, happy birthday tomorrow,
thank you.
Old man.
Thank you.
How old are you going to be now?
47.
Oh, I don't even remember 47. So enjoy.
Hopefully I won't either.
Something special to eat?
No, I'll probably just relax at home. So I take my shot tonight, so I won't be hungry at all tomorrow.
Just enjoy your birthday, you know?
I think I'm meeting up with a friend who's coming down from further up northern New England. I think we're going to do a little ghost investigation or something on Sunday, and we'll have some fun.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, enjoy it. You're only in your 40s once, because you're pushing that big 50. It's coming.
Yeah, I can't wait till I hit 55 and I can start getting all the discounts.
Yeah. The calendar pages are being flipped faster and faster every year. The time is just speeding by.
It does seem like it. That's why I always say time is an illusion. It's not real. But it certainly feels real.
If I want to go skiing, I better hop to it, because it looks like I'm never going to go skiing.
I've never been skiing either.
I'm just throwing that in. I'm never going to do that.
I don't like snow enough.
And a great birthday, Mr. Weisberg.
Thank you so much. You too. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
508-996-0500. Yeah, I've never been skiing. I've only been on skis once. And that was when my cousin found a pair of skis behind the town barn in Halifax where he lived. And he said, I was over his house and we got about, I don't know, like maybe like half a foot of snow. And I was sleeping over. And he said, hey, you want to go skiing? And I said, no. Where? Where are we going to go skiing in Halifax? And he goes, I got an idea. And he had me put on the skis, which apparently he still had boots attached to them when he found them. And he had me put on the skis. And then he brought out his dirt bike, tied a rope to the back of his dirt bike, and told me to just hold on. And took me around the cornfield across from his house. And we were doing a pretty good job of, you know, going around in circles. And then I crossed one ski over the other, and that was the end. I just got all tangled up and ended up letting go of the rope and tumbled over. But it was fun. I could have broken my leg, but I didn't. I was fine. And he was like, let's not do that again. So that was the only time I'd ever been on skis. And it's not that it traumatized me. I just never had any interest in skiing or snowboarding. I don't like snow. I don't like heights. I certainly don't want to go on a ski lift. So if I could go up to the top without taking the ski lift, maybe I'd try going down, but I don't know. Just, it's not for me. When I was a kid, though, other kids would go sledding. Other kids would go out and take their plastic sleds, their little plastic disc sleds. Other kids would go out with those. In my family, we had a big old wooden toboggan. I don't know where my dad got it. My whole life he had it. So he had it from before I was born. But my whole life he had this big wooden toboggan. And that's what we would take sledding. And we would go down Killer Hill in Plymouth. Over near where we lived. And it was five kids piled one after the other, according to size, on the back of this toboggan going down the hill. Things that they, what did they say? You can never get away with that today. But I wish we still had that toboggan, but it got wrecked. You don't see those anymore. You don't see toboggans anymore. I'll never forget when I finally got a sled one year. I was like, you know what? I think I want an actual sled. And I got this plastic sled that looked kind of like a go-kart cockpit. And it had a brake on it, a plastic brake. Which you just knew was never going to actually stop anything. You're going down a hill, you pull this thing, it might slow you a little bit, but it's... And so what it would do is when you pulled it, it would actually cause you to go into a skid and roll over and flip, which made it cooler. But that got wrecked pretty quickly too. We just cracked that up. Anyway, 508-996-0500. we can talk more about this. So basically, if you read Jack Spillane's column at NewBedfordLight.org today, he lays out that he feels that this is a campaign being conducted by the president, the new president of the New Bedford Police Union, Lorenzo Gonzalez, and Chris McCarthy. Now, he doesn't say that they're working together. He just says that they're, you know, each kind of pushing this agenda of keeping Shane Burgo from being the council president. And as I was saying in the first hour, when Councilor Morad was the president, she would come on my program every week to talk about whatever was going on with the council. And I know many people thought that that was, you know, not interesting because she just talked about council business and didn't talk about the drama that was going on. But that's what we had her on to discuss, was council business, not drama. And when she would come on, one of the things she would talk about was how, you know, especially when we got toward the end, when it became clear that Councilor Carney was going to be the new president, she talked about how her and some of her colleagues feel that every councilor should get a chance to sit in the big chair, to hold the gavel, to be the council president so that they can have that experience, because it makes them a better councilor for having an opportunity to do that. And as such, as I mentioned, Councilor Morad's done it. Councilor Gomes has done it. Councilor Lopes has done it, even though he's, you know, new to the council again. He was there for a long time before, and he's done it multiple times. I think Councilor Giesta might be, quote unquote, next in line, but maybe she doesn't, you know, for various reasons, doesn't want that responsibility at this time. We know that Councilor Burgo does want it. And as I pointed out, he was the second highest vote getter in the last council election. At large. Not a ward councilor. At large. That means people all across the city support Shane Burgo and his ideas, even if the people that listen and call into this radio station do not. And I want to also stress that a lot of what he's talked about are just ideas. Just things to talk about, not actual plans, not actual proposals, just ideas, conversations that he said are worth at least having. And we had the conversation about a tent city, for lack of a better term, and that conversation has been, nobody's really for it. So you know what? It's not going to happen. And when he comes in on Tuesday and I ask him about it, I'm sure he's going to say, yeah, not interested anymore. Wasn't really interested to begin with. Just wanted to hear it out because somebody said we should really flesh out this idea. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. First of all, happy birthday for tomorrow.
Thank you.
And you brought back memories. You were talking about the toboggan. Oh, my God. When I lived in Danvers, do you know where Folly Hill is?
I don't.
128. It's with a big water tower up on the hill. No, but
nah, I don't know any Danvers geography, unfortunately.
Oh, it's too bad. Anyway, it was a big, huge, it was right behind our house, a big, huge hill, but it's called Folly Hill. It was like a mountain. And anyway, we used to go up there with the toboggan, and then we had also, yeah, the wooden sleds. Remember the wooden sleds with the iron, with the metal blades?
Yep.
We used to wax them up with soap, so we go really fast down the hill. Oh, it was so much fun.
So I had a couple of those old-fashioned sleds that I found, you know, at different yard sales and stuff.
Yeah.
And I clean them up, and people pay big money for those.
Yeah, I know.
But not to use them. They just want to hang them on their wall.
Yeah, we had them. We have a big, huge rock in our backyard, and my mother, we had had that sled for years and years and years. And she just put it there as a decoration, like around the wintertime. But someone stole it. And I don't know what we did with it, because it really wasn't, you know, that good a sled with now, but... The toboggan we had was really big, the wooden one, too. It was a lot of fun. Now it's just all plastic stuff. But actually, you think of it, those metal sleds were dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I cut my leg on it. I did. I was on a flying saucer behind one of them and slid into this thing on the back, and I cut the I guess I was going to sky out of my leg from that. Right through, boy, I was screaming right to the house.
And anything remotely dangerous like that, if you leave it up to a kid's going to find a way to make it even more dangerous.
Yeah, so we get with the soap.
Like, you know, my friend wanted a bow and arrow when we were kids, and his parents got him the Nerf bow and arrow set because they're like, well, it's Nerf, it's foam, he's not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Well, he figured out if I dunk these foam arrows in cold water and then put them in the freezer, I can shoot those at kids and hit them with an ice arrow.
Oh, God.
And he was giving kids concussions, knocking them out and stuff with an ice arrow. So.
Wow. Jesus. So what are you going to do for your birthday?
Hopefully nothing.
Nothing. Just relax.
Yeah, that's my plan. I got to try to get over this cold, so.
Well, when you turn 50, you'll probably have a big surprise party.
The surprise will be I'm not showing up for it. I don't need parties.
I had one for every 20, 30, 40, 50. Oh, my God. My family is crazy.
My ex-wife tried to throw me a 40th birthday party. Nobody showed up.
Oh, no.
And my 30th birthday, she made a nice dinner and everything, and my son got sick and had to be taken to the hospital and spend the night overnight. Oh. So we're like, oh, man. She's like, go home and eat the dinner that's in the oven. I was like, no. We're staying here all night, so.
Oh, that was sad.
Well, I mean, it turned out fine. It was just he just had a bad virus,
My 40th birthday, we had it at it was a real surprise. It was at the Whalen City Country Club there. Friends of mine, members there, and they got the big, huge hall. My God, there were tons of people there. I got so many scratch tickets, and I got home. I couldn't wait. There was piles of them. I only won $13 out of all of them.
Wow, $13 more than you had, though.
Way over 100 scratch tickets.
Wow. Now,
I know it. That's, but anyway, you have... Oh,
I was saying, that's why I don't need a party. I don't need a party. I don't need gifts. I just need some quiet time alone.
Oh, I got a lot of scotch, though. A lot of bottles of scotch.
Well, people want to bring me that. That's fine, too.
Yeah. Well, you have a great time and enjoy your cigars that you get. And my brother smoked cigars, too. My other brother and my father did, too. My father did the Tipperellos when he worked at Star Store.
Which isn't really a cigar.
No. It's a little time. Well, he worked at Star Store, but that's when you could smoke inside. And he'd sit at his desk and he'd have that, you know, had the little plastic tip on it. And I forget the name of it. I forget the name of the kind. They had it at the cigar store downtown, went to the penis store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I don't dislike them, but it's not like smoking an actual cigar.
No, the big fat cigars like my brother smokes. I can't stand the smell of them. But he gets a box every few weeks, gets sent to the house.
All right,
you order them.
You have a great weekend.
Great time.
Thank you so much.
You too. Hope you feel better.
Thanks.
Bye
bye. I gotta take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
New details on the man behind the deadly attack in New Orleans. Donald Trump plans a major rally in D.C. before his inauguration, and how to make those New Year's resolutions stick.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The FBI says the attack on Bourbon Street was an act of terrorism. Over a dozen people were killed and dozens more injured when a truck plowed through a crowd in the New Orleans hotspot in the early hours of the new year. FBI Deputy Assistant Director Christopher Raya added the suspect pledged his support for ISIS on social media just hours before the attack. They believe he acted alone. The driver who died when a Cybertruck blew up outside the Trump Las Vegas hotel has been identified as an Army vet from Colorado. Law enforcement sources tell the New York Post that 37-year-old Matthew Livelessberger rented the electric truck that exploded on New Year's Day and was in the driver's seat when it blew up. The FBI investigating the explosion as a possible terror attack. Two people are dead and at least 18 more injured after a plane crashed into a warehouse in Fullerton, California. The plane reportedly crashed into the building around 2 p.m. on Thursday. Of the 18 people injured, 10 were taken to a hospital and 8 were treated at the scene. The FBI is releasing new information about the person who placed two pipe bombs near the RNC and DNC headquarters on January 6th of 2021. Authorities still have no suspects and haven't identified a motive for the crimes. On Thursday, they released new video of the person placing one of the bombs near the DNC. The FBI says they estimate the person to be about 5'7". A $500,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the suspect's arrest. arrest. Donald Trump is planning a major rally in Washington, D.C. on the eve of his inauguration. Amid a heightened terror threat level, Trump announced he'll host what he called a victory rally you'll never forget for 20,000 of his supporters on January 19th. Trump hasn't held a rally in D.C. since January 6th of 2021, which preceded an insurrection at the Capitol building by some of his followers. Some officials say the short notice for the rally and the recent attacks in New Orleans and Vegas could present security problems. And getting in shape and losing weight come out on top for New Year's resolutions. Healthy living experts warn not to bite off more than you can chew and to start slow by building up your exercise routine instead of jumping into tough workouts. Just getting on a treadmill or walking for 20 minutes at least 3 times a week is a great place to start.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 118-115. Tonight they're in Houston to play the Rockets. Bruins lost to the New York Rangers 2-1. Their next game is Saturday in Toronto with the Maple Leafs. And the Patriots host the Buffalo Bills in Foxborough on Sunday afternoon.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Breezy and mostly sunny on the South Coast today with a high of 38 degrees. On Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 31. On Sunday, cloudy with a high of 30. And on Monday, cloudy again with a high of 32. This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
I can get you sleep. Think about the implications of diving in too deep, and possibly the complications, especially at night. I worry over situations. I know we'll be alright. Perhaps it's just an imagination. Shows the fear, goes to fear and fade away.
And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. So I was telling you yesterday how Brax Grill and Tap has a resolution that you can keep of treating yourself to lunch, because they have a lunch value menu that is just $12.99 Monday through Friday, and you can get items such as a half pizza and salad combo, the Saucy Bird Chicken Sandwich, or their pasta of the day. You can warm up with Brax's famous brisket chili, Portuguese kale soup, or their classic clam chowder. Or how about Brax's famous bourbon bacon burger, chicken and waffles, and barbecue turkey tips. They also have a kids menu, and they have weekly specials as well. Right now, they have buffalo shrimp tacos, loaded mashed potato bites, and check this out. You need some comfort food, right? I know, new year, new me, but you also need some comfort food, especially on a cold day. Maybe you got a little bit of a cold like I do. You just want to have some good old-fashioned comfort food. They have American chop suey, just like you remember it. Ground beef, peppers, and onions, and a nice chunky marinara sauce. And I love the marinara sauce at Brax. I had the one-pound meatball there, and the sauce there is fantastic. So what are you waiting for? Oh, I know what you're waiting for. You're waiting for me to tell you about the drink specials? Well, they have a skinny margarita, a grapefruit mimosa, a snowy white Cosmo, and the one that I'm going to go there to try. The peanut buttery Yuletide Nog, which is peanut butter, tequila, and eggnog sprinkled with cocoa and brown sugar. Man. You know what? Maybe I will go out for my birthday. Maybe I'll go to Brax Grill and Tap in either Taunton or Brockton. And if you want to find out more, you can check them out online at braxgrillandtap.com. I love that. Love that idea. The peanut buttery Yuletide Nog. I could probably only have 2 or 3, maybe 4. No, that seems like a lot. Anyway, 508-996-0500. That is my number. If you want to call in and jump into the conversation we've been talking about, as I mentioned, Counselor-at-Large Shane Burgo is going to join us on Tuesday morning in the 8 o'clock hour. He'll take your phone calls. And we'll know one way or the other on Tuesday morning if he is the new New Bedford City Council president. Because as Jack Spillane wrote in his column at newbedfordlight.org today, he can't remember when there's been kind of a contested race like this for the New Bedford City Council presidency. And with outside forces such as Lorenzo Gonzalez, the new president of the New Bedford Police Union, and Chris McCarthy here on WBSM advocating for either, you know, not voting for Shane Burgo as the police union president's stance is said to be an anybody but Burgo approach. And Chris McCarthy, who has been talking about how he openly supports the idea of Sean Oliver as council president. And while I've been saying all morning that I think Shane Burgo will be a fine city council president, he will not enact all these loony leftist things that people are accusing him of wanting to enact. He can't. The city council president doesn't have that kind of power. Even if Mayor Mitchell was to leave and he became the interim mayor until an election could be held, he's not going to have the power to put these things. And he wouldn't do it either because he'd want to run for the actual full-time job and wouldn't want to alienate anybody that would vote for him. But also keep in mind, he was the second highest vote getter of all the council candidates in the last election. The people of New Bedford like his ideas. They like him. He's a likable guy. But in saying all that, that's not to say that Sean Oliver wouldn't be great at the council presidency. He would also make a great council president. And I think, you know, if you remember back when he was first running for the Ward 3 seat in the special election, I was critical of the posts that he had put on social media. And I can tell you now that I've gotten to know Sean Oliver over the last couple of years, and that's not the guy that he is. As people told us at the time, that's not who he is. He was just sharing things that he thought were funny. And I firmly believe now that's not the guy who he is. He is somebody who would do a fantastic job as council president. And no matter who ends up winning on Tuesday, I think the city will be fine, mainly because what can the council president really do? So here's what they do. They run the meetings. They bang the gavel and keep things under order. You got to be able to do two things to do that job. You got to be able to bang a gavel, and you got to be able to kind of yell loudly. He can do both of those things. You got to be able to pick what committees councilors are going to serve on and who's going to chair which committees. Well, that's usually you promise somebody something in exchange for their vote for the council presidency. He can certainly do all of that. You have to show up at things ceremonially. He's been doing that for as long as he's been a counselor. I see him at more things than any of the other counselors. And that's not a knock on the other counselors. They do a great job of getting out there at things. But I've seen him at even more. We have never done, in the time that he has been on the council, we have never done a United Way Hunger Heroes food drop that I haven't seen Shane Burgo show up with a sizable donation of food to donate to needy families. That's the Shane Burgo that I've come to know over the last couple of years. Not some crazy leftist Shane Denista who has his own personal political opinions and ideologies, but also knows that when he's elected as a city councilor at large, he's elected to represent the people of New Bedford and what they think and what they want to see, not necessarily what he wants to have happen. Also, this is, and I've never spoken to him about this, and maybe we'll talk about it on Tuesday. I would think, being a young guy, we know he wants to run for mayor. He's already made that clear. that when Mayor Mitchell's term is up, if he doesn't run again, or maybe even if he does, Shane's planning on running for mayor. We know that that's true. But I think he's also got eyes on larger statewide office and maybe even federal office, and that that is where you would see him want to make some of his ideologies into policy. And he could be mayor for 10 years and still go on and do that. So don't think that he's just using wanting to be mayor of New Bedford as a stepping stone. I think he really does want to serve in that capacity. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Saffioles.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right.
I hear it's your birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday.
Thank you.
You know, everybody's overlooking the big picture here. Okay, you keep talking about the president of the city council doesn't have any power. Okay? Now, you did have Linda Morad on for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you know, that whole year, it's in my opinion now, she dictated your program. Okay? Now, she brought, you know, somebody with her, where she wouldn't take no questions for a whole year. Okay? She's been controlling that city council all this time. So they have a lot of power. And she's controlling it now.
So two points. One, as I pointed out before, that format was an agreed upon format between Councilor Morad and I. Two, she did answer questions. She answered any question that I asked her, and she came in and took phone calls on at least one occasion. There might have been a second one, I don't remember. And three, what you're talking about is more about Linda Morad as a person than as the person that was in position as city council president.
Really?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. You're saying she, so how can she control the council now if she's not the council president? You're talking about her as in terms of her personality, not in terms of the position.
I'm talking about Linda Morad.
Right, that's okay. What I'm saying.
The bottom line is, she, the president, does have a lot of power. Okay? She's proved it. She's attacked everybody on that city council. They're all afraid of her. And you talk about Burgo making...
But do you feel that she did that even before she was council president this last time and is still doing it now?
Yes.
Then that's not the council presidency that allowed her to do that. That's Linda Morad's personality.
No. People were afraid of it. They were afraid of her.
But you're saying they were afraid of her when she wasn't president as well.
Right. Because
so I'm saying having that position was a moot point in terms of, you know, whatever dominance you feel she has over the council, the same way it wouldn't allow for Shane Burgo to have any dominance over the council.
Let me get back to like you're saying that he was a second highest point getter.
Mm-hmm.
So was Linda Morad. Now she's last. There's a reason why people are finally realizing what kind of a person she really is. That's the part that I'm trying to bring across to, and I've been trying to bring that across for years.
I mean, I guess you could also argue that eventually people get tired of the folks that have been there for a while, and the younger, you know, the less experienced candidates become the ones that they turn to. That could be part of it.
People, what I'm happy about is people are finally opening up their eyes about her. When did you ever see, and I'm going to say this, when did you ever see a city councilor putting hands on people? She did it.
I bet you it's happened before. I bet you you're not the first.
Oh. So in other words, I can go in there and put my hands on those people, right?
No, that's not what I said.
Well, it's still in the same line. She's an elected official. And if you notice, there's a tape there. I walked away. I walked around. She followed me. What happens when somebody has a confrontation with somebody and the person's trying to walk away from the confrontation and that person follows them and puts a hand on them? Can a guy turn around and whack him?
You probably shouldn't.
Right, probably shouldn't, but she did it. It's on video. Okay? And nobody sees a... The bottom line is she never answered any questions. Okay, you realize when she was president and I was going to all those meetings, when she was president, do you realize how many times she called the cops on me?
I don't know how many.
Well, Tim, let me tell you something. I'm gonna give you a low figure. Well,
I got Let's about 30 say, seconds, and then I got to take a break.
Okay. I'll give you a low figure. If it was in the 20s, 30s, easy. Even if she called them, and the cops never did anything. They walked out. I was never removed from city council thing because I was wrong. The cops even walked out from listening to her.
All right, I'm gonna have to hold you there just because I got to get this break in.
Okay, you're going to get the break in, but it's a bigger picture than you guys think about the president of the thing. She's a very vindictive person. That's all I got to tell you, and it's been proven.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. I got to take this break. Hang on, caller. We'll be with you in just a moment. We'll be right back. Dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Just a beer, beer. Gonna get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. So a few years ago, I had the opportunity to meet Chevy Chase at a meet and greet at a Christmas Vacation screening. And everybody, you know, as much as I wanted to talk to him about Fletch, which is my favorite, I said, you know, Chevy, the moment that made me laugh more than anything in your entire career was when you came out in the You Can Call Me Al video and you went to go put your water your cup of water on the table, and it wasn't a table, it was the drum holder, and it just falls straight through. And every time I see that, I just crack up laughing. I said, was that on purpose, or was that ad-libbed? And he said, nope, made that up on the spot. So that's my favorite Chevy Chase moment. Really quickly, Sketty asked if Brax is spelled like the candy. It's not. It's spelled B-R-A-C-K. Brax. So if you go to braxgrillandtap.com, it's B-R-A-C-K-S. And she also said to please tell Gilly to leave that stuff behind in 2024. And you can say that I said that. It's sad. Let it go. DSY also says Shane Burgo is a Democrat. That's why McCarthy doesn't want him. Well, that's not true. Some of Chris McCarthy's best friends are Democrats. And as he said, he voted for Maura Healey. He regrets it now, but he voted for Maura Healey. And of course, you know that he's close to Senator Montigny and Representative Markey, and you know he's got a lot of friends and close confidants, Scott Lang, who are Democrats. So Chris decides on people based on who they are as a person, not based on their party. Let's take a phone call here before we have to go to the news. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
It's Shaken Playboy.
What's going on, Lamone?
Sitting in the hospital.
Oh, you're in the hospital.
Yeah. So isn't that chick that?
Hold on. Is everything okay?
I don't know. I'll find out. I saw the test, and so hope I'm not pregnant again. You know, those pap smears. I hate that it happened. You know, but isn't that chick that I was talking about? Isn't that the chick that slammed Cuba?
The chick that slammed Cuba?
Yeah, Nayib. When he was talking about the guy was on the air with the previous thing.
Oh, Gilly? Gilly was talking about Linda Morad, a New Bedford city councilor.
Morad, oh, I thought it was Linda Morad. I thought it was her. Because you remember what I'm talking about, the chick that swam. She tried to swim one time, and she went back and swam in a cage. And she would get bit by sharks, remember?
Oh, yeah. No, that's not who he was talking about, no.
Okay, so now, remember we were talking about the trouble in China?
Yes.
This was down on the 27th of December. They had to do a few new shots and a few new things. It'll be coming out, I think it's on April.
And is that still starring Dwayne Johnson?
Yes. And so that's, and like it was ready on 27th of December, but they're adding a couple new things to it. I wish I could say I'm adding new things, but I'm not. Or am I? I don't know.
I could see you as David Lopan.
Yeah, listen here. Top Jack Burton.
Actually, you'd be more like the hairy monster that's on the Pork Chop Express at the end of the movie.
Oh yeah, but I'm not the big ugly eye guy, you know, floating around there. Yeah, you know those are actual guys from China that taking them that holds literally holds the heavens above, holds the heavens on pillars The Raiden, the Raiden guy.
Yeah. I'm sure that John Carpenter did his research on that. But that's one of my favorite movies of all time. Big Trouble in Little China.
It's such a good movie too, and underrated. But everybody that watches it, they find lots of pleasure in it. That's one good thing about that. There. So what do you hear about the bombing stuff? Like, you know, the terrorists at high.
The latest news that I heard was that it turns out that they do think that the person acted alone. And that the Las Vegas one and the New Orleans one were not connected.
But they borrowed the car from the same place.
Well, they used the same app, yeah.
Well, you know, see something. And there was bombing there at the car here in Vegas.
But that's like saying if you and I both, you know, torched a house that we both rented on Airbnb, that we somehow were working in connection because, you know, we both rented it through Airbnb.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, fella.
Well, that's how you ended up in the hospital. Okay.
I'm a little burnt. Yeah, I feel like Flavor Flav. No, I'm not that kind of burnt. Yeah, that's okay, though. But I hope everybody has a good weekend out there. Are you doing Spooky Live this weekend?
We will not be. No, tomorrow's my birthday, so I'll be home doing nothing, I hope.
That's not a good thing. I wish I could send somebody to come visit you.
Well, I appreciate that. I wish I could go visit you in the hospital.
I wouldn't want to come visit me now, but I'd rather be when I'm out of here. It would be nice.
Hopefully you won't be in there long enough. So just do me a favor. I got to go here because we're going to be up against the news, but send me a message. Let me know that everything works out okay, all right?
All right. God bless you guys out there, and may the good Lord smile upon everybody in the New Bedford area.
All right. Take care, Lamone. We love you.
God bless. Thank you. Love you, too. Play on, brother. Play on.
All right, that is Lamone in Las Vegas, apparently in the hospital in Las Vegas. So let's all send out some thoughts and prayers his way.